Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Into your presence today. Thank you, Lord, for welcoming us, and thank you for loving us. Thank you for your kindness, Lord. We enjoy you, Lord. We enjoy your presence, and we want more, Lord, and we want all that you have for us in this moment, Lord. I lift up every one of us, Lord, that have needs and empty places in our lives, Lord, that we're asking you to fill right now. Money can't fill these places, Lord. Relationships cannot fill these empty places on the inside. Only you, Lord, can fill us the way we need to be filled. So come, Holy Spirit. Come through the inspiration of your word. Come through the living fire of your presence, Lord, and fill us every bit full of Jesus and all that he has. Lord, I thank you that you're breaking the chains of darkness right now. I thank you, Lord, that you're initiating freedom and liberty in your presence, Lord, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and there is liberty. So, Lord, thank you for the liberty to hear your voice, Lord, the liberty to receive, Lord, the liberty to be healed and set free, Lord. Thank you for owning this place, Lord, this time in our lives, Lord. Thank you for filling us completely with everything that you have for us. We ask you now to speak through your living word and by your living spirit into our hearts in Jesus' name. And all the people said amen. 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 Would you give the Lord a hand clap this morning and let's honor him. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we bless you. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I'm blessed by you, worship team. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And good morning. I'm so happy to be with you this morning and to share a message that God began to put into my heart months back, a special word, and the word is flourish. Everybody say flourish. I believe God was impressing me that he wants every area of our lives, every single area of our heart, of our relationships, of our experience in life to flourish. It's a necessity. And so this has become a little bit of a target as I've talked to our pastors in four locations and our team here. We have such a marvelous team of leaders here. I'm talking to them about this year being a year to flourish. And this morning, I want to talk to us about a fresh anointing. A fresh anointing to flourish. We're going to look at Psalm 92, a beautiful passage of Scripture. If you have your Bible, please open it, or your digital device. Let's find Psalm 92 and just leave it open, because we're going to dive into this and just go verse by verse through this passage. And then at the end of the message, I want to pray for us. And I believe that something can happen in your life, whether you're in the cafe, watching online, or here live in the auditorium. I believe the Holy Spirit will come to us in our prayer time in a supernatural way, and we will leave this place different. Can I have an amen? Amen. How many came just to play around today? Anybody come to play around? How many came to hear God speak and be touched by the Lord? So let's go into his word, and let's believe him to hear something fresh and amazing for our lives. Psalm 92, my topic is a fresh anointing to flourish. Verse 10. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye has also seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall, what, everyone? Shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit. Here's a promise for some of us. They shall still bear fruit in what? Old age, amen, hallelujah. If you're young, God bless you. It's not going to last forever, though. So be kind to old people, because one day soon you will be one. They shall still bear fruit in their old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. I want to talk today about how a fresh anointing is a key to you flourishing this year. A fresh anointing is a key to you flourishing starting right now, and I know that God wants to speak to you. As a matter of fact, I had a supernatural experience regarding this passage of Scripture. The Lord started dealing with me, as I mentioned a few months back, about this word, and I started sharing it and studying it, and it became a part of my vocabulary, flourishing, like God had a prophetic purpose in that. And then I was guided as I came to Psalm 92 about the importance of a fresh anointing to cause us to flourish. So I made my plans, and I started writing this message weeks back. Kathy and I just returned from being gone for 12 days. We did 6 days of ministry in Honolulu. It sounds better than it was. It was very nice, but we didn't go to the beach. We didn't make it to the beach or lay by the pool or anything for the first 6 or 7, 8 days. So we were just working and doing pastors' conferences and talking with leaders, and my whole desire for them, as it is for you, is that people would flourish. This is the whole reason why we do what we do. We want to see people flourish. Before I had gone, I wrote this message in preparation for today, because we just got back just not even 2 days ago. So this message was already written, and Kathy and I were walking, I think middle of the week, probably about Friday, maybe it was Thursday or Friday, and she said, I had this amazing wild dream last night. I said, well, tell me about it. Kathy, she gets prophetic dreams quite a bit, and so it's not unusual for her to describe a dream that she had, but this one really caught my attention, because she said these men were kind of forcing their way into your office. You were here. It was a Sunday. I think it was in between services, and these men, they were from an international city. She got the impression that they were from the Middle East, perhaps Iran. But they were saved. They loved Jesus. They were very intense and very bold. And they said, we have something for your husband. He's got to receive this. And she said, well, he's back in his office. He just has a minute before the next service. And they just were very aggressive. And we all ended up in the same office. And they started to pour oil on me. And the oil was green. She said, it's so weird that they were pouring green oil on you, and they were saying, come on, you have to pray for your husband. Pray for him. He's receiving. And there's more detail in the dreams, but I said, honey, do you have any idea what I'm speaking on this coming Sunday? She said, I don't have a clue. I said, I'm speaking on the importance of being anointed with fresh oil. And this was the dream that they were having. I said, what is green in dreams? So the color green, we were talking about how that means life and how it means to flourish. Green means to grow and to flourish. And so I said, this is the Sunday that I'm going to speak on this. And I'm believing that as I share this, something's going to be released in your life. Because it's not just me that needs to be anointed with fresh oil. All of us need to be anointed with fresh oil. The psalmist said, he has anointed me with fresh oil. Oil. What was he talking about? He's talking about that beautiful experience of the Holy Spirit touching us and anointing us. So I want to talk about the Holy Spirit as it relates to a flourishing life. Now, we know that God wants us to flourish in every area of our lives. 3 John verse 2 says, I pray that you may prosper in every way. I pray that you may prosper in every way and be in good health physically, just as you are spiritually. God wants us to flourish. His plan is that we would flourish. When he created Adam and Eve, and he put them into the garden, and he gave them all manners of trees, and that beautiful, lush garden was a place of flourishing. And the Lord said to Adam and Eve, go and take dominion and flourish and fill the earth and subdue the earth and multiply. He was talking even then about a life that would flourish. I'm not talking about something here about success or maybe wealth or riches. That could be a part of the picture for you, but God has something so special for every person in life. And if you're not flourishing, and I mean flourishing in life, you can. It's not just for some people. It's not just for, you know, because God loves clever people, or he loves high capacity people, or he loves you but not your neighbor, and he loves the third guy down the row but not the other two guys that are in between you. And God isn't like that. He wants everybody to flourish. And flourishing is a lifestyle. I mean, flourishing body, soul, and spirit, flourishing relationships, flourishing, thriving, growing, and doing well. When you look up the definition of the word flourish, you'll get a few descriptions like grow well. To flourish means to grow well or to bloom. To flourish means to bud or break out. It means to thrive. Everyone say thrive. Would you like to thrive in life? Literally in every area, just as 3 John 2 says, to be healthy, to be happy. Flourish means literally to develop quickly and successfully. You know, to beat the odds when it comes to development, to do well, you might have a small beginning, but you'll take root and you'll be healthy. Not everything that's big, by the way, is thriving and flourishing. Some things are big and they're not healthy at all. And there are other things that are smaller or, it doesn't matter the size, but you know when something's alive and it's got health to it, it's got balance, it's got a flourishing anointing on it. This would apply to us emotionally, to flourish emotionally, to be carrying, you know, the right things emotionally in our lives, not walking around carrying jealousy and carrying bitterness everywhere we go, carrying anger, always, you know, on a low boil. That's not a flourishing life. God wants you to flourish in your emotions. He wants you to flourish from the inside out. And as you flourish on the inside and you're carrying the right things on the inside of you, then your relationships are affected. And as your relationships are affected and they begin to flourish, then you begin to flourish maybe financially, socially, in every way. Maybe your ministry begins to flourish. God just wants you to radiate health, and he wants you to thrive and do really well in every area of our lives. This would include your financial life, certainly your educational life, your business life. If you're a business person, God wants your business to flourish. He wants it to take root and thrive and develop quickly and do really, really well. How many of you want to flourish in every level of life? That's not a dream for somebody else. That's a dream for you. And it is possible, not because you're a high-capacity person or you're high intelligence or you're highly educated. That's not how you flourish. You and I can flourish not because God loves us more than he loves other people. That isn't true. The only reason we can flourish is because of Jesus Christ and what he's done. See, Jesus came to bring us into a flourishing experience. Look at what he said in John 10, verse 10. The Passion Translation has it this way. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. These are the words of Jesus. But I have come, Jesus said, to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. That sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah. That sounds real good. To give everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. This is a life that Jesus came to bring you. My advice to you is, if Jesus is determined, if he gave himself, if he died on a cross and rose from the dead and taught everything that he taught so that you and I could have this kind of an experience, then I recommend that we not settle for anything less than that. Now, we may not all be living this kind of a life, but we're on our way. And if we're determined, and if we agree with God, and if we know that this can happen, then we can set ourselves in agreement with God and say, yes, Lord, I too want to flourish. Now, how do we flourish? What will cause us to flourish? That would be an important question to get an answer to. What are the things that would cause a person to flourish? Now, I could share many things, but today I want to limit myself to Psalm 92, because there's this one central thing where the writer said, I am flourishing because God has anointed me with fresh oil. And we're talking today about the role of the Holy Spirit, the role of a fresh anointing in our lives to be the catalyst, to be the fire starter of a brand new season of flourishing in our hearts this year. Psalm 92 is about the things that take place when we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. The anointing is a key to a flourishing life. To flourish, to blossom, we need the Holy Spirit. We're not going to be flourishing apart from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one that Jesus sent into our lives to bring us into that abundant life. So he said, I'm going to the Father. He died on that cross for our sins, and then he rose from the dead, and then after a period of days, he ascended to the Father, and he said this just before he left. He said, I'm ready to ascend to the Father, but you shall receive the Holy Spirit. You shall receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to cause everything that I've taught you to come into your mind. He's going to teach you all things. So it's now the Holy Spirit becomes the key for every one of us to flourish in every area of our life. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit will help you with your marriage. And he'll help you know what to do in business. The Holy Spirit is not just for Sunday morning at 11:15 till 12:30. The Holy Spirit is for when you lay down at night. The Holy Spirit is when you're dealing with a difficult person. When you have a problem and you don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit will come right alongside you. And the things that he shows you and the things that he does for you in those moments will literally be the keys to you flourishing in your life. You have a difficult child. Somebody in your family is acting, they shouldn't act the way they're acting. And you don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit will come alongside you. And he'll speak to you and he'll talk to you. And he'll literally cause you to flourish in every area of your life. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is what we're talking about. Remember, the world's most famous psalm, Psalm 23. King David said it this way, you anoint my head with oil. And what happens? After I get anointed, what happens? My cup starts to overflow. I start to flourish. See, no anointing, no flourishing. Plenty anointing, plenty flourishing. Amen. So we're going to talk about this, the Holy Spirit and the anointing. What do I mean by that? Well, the practice of anointing with oil is a biblical practice. We find it in Genesis. We find it in nearly every book, all the way through to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, where he says, I pray that you would anoint your eyes with oil, with eye salve, so that you can see. In Genesis, in the early chapters of Genesis, the patriarchs were pouring oil on objects and consecrating them. But the real story of the anointing took place even before they were anointing kings and priests. Because in ancient cultures, they used to anoint, that's right, they used to anoint their sheep. Because sheep were a key to wealth. Sheep were a lifestyle, and sheep were a source of, obviously, food and clothing. And so in biblical days, in those days of culture, the sheep were very valuable, but sheep were also vulnerable, and they would be attacked. The shepherds found that if they would mix together, and I'm going to use the word, I'm not really an essential oils person. Okay, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about the essential oil. But the shepherds actually came up with a concoction of oil and certain spices and ingredients, which when they applied it to the head of their sheep, would drive the insects. The insects would come and attack the sheep in their eyes, and the sheep would be tormented by insects. If you've ever been around animals, you know that horses and so on. But they would anoint these sheep, and these aromatic flavors and essences that were in the oil was like a medicine to the sheep. It would heal the sheep and also drive the insects away. And this is where it all began. And then it started to take on medicinal qualities and even holy qualities, where kings and priests were anointed. They would be anointed in their head when they were ordained as a priest or a prophet or a king. It became symbolic of a life that was touched by God. And that's really all it means. Just the anointing is just the touch of God. There's a healing aspect to it. There are many things we could teach on concerning the anointing. It's a healing thing and it's a life-giving thing. But really it speaks of an initiation of a special touch of God. Now, when we talk about the anointing, it became symbolic of God's blessing and protection and healing. And so they would do priests and kings and But for a while then it seemed like only special people would be anointed. But then came Jesus. And the name Jesus Christ, the word Christ, actually means anointing. Did you know that about Christ? It means anointed one. Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one, and he came to bring oil. He came to bring blessing and happiness and success and to initiate a special touch in all of our lives. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, "Now the one who confirms us with you in Christ is Christ, and he has anointed us." He has anointed us. The anointing, my brothers and sisters, is the birthright of every believer. The anointing is not just for kings, it's not just for priests, it's not just for God's favorites, it is literally for everyone to be anointed with oil. That is for you and it is for me. The one who confirms us with you is Christ, and he has anointed us. I'm here to tell you today that only a child of God can have the anointing. The only person that can. But if you are a child of God, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the anointing is already on the inside of you. Because Jesus, who is the anointing, God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in the heart of a believer, and there that anointing exists forever. He will never take that anointing away from you. The Holy Spirit is with you to the end. Now, what I'm telling you is very important. Because you might feel, well, I've sinned, and so I've lost the anointing. You cannot lose the Holy Spirit. I mean, you could try to drive him out of your life, but you'd have to work pretty hard. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can ignore the Holy Spirit. You can walk away from the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit will never walk away from you. And I want you to say this. Everyone, please say this. I have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. That happened the day you received Christ. Now, the key then is for you to cultivate and pay attention to that supernatural thing that is in your life. If I was to say to you, look, let's plant a garden, and once you plant that garden, you'll never have to do anything to it again. Would you believe me? No. If I said to you, let's go get you a car, and once you put the initial oil and the initial gas in that car, you can just drive forever. You don't have to have checkups. You don't have to do anything. You can totally ignore that car. Just drive it and it'll go forever. Would you agree with me? No. If I said, look, get married. She's a nice girl. I think you should marry her. It's going to be great. And you can get to know her and have a good conversation with her. And then after that, you pretty much don't have to do anything else after that. You'll just have a great marriage just based on that one conversation. Would that work out good for you? So you would be married, you would own a car, you would be a gardener, but you wouldn't be a very good one. You wouldn't be a very good husband or a very good car owner. It's the same thing. When you receive Christ, you receive the anointing, but now the Christian life is about paying attention to that. It's about cultivating that special walk with God called walking in the Spirit. And learning to grow in the anointing and learning to be freshly anointed and to encounter again and again God's goodness, the Holy Spirit touching you and giving you life. This is what the psalmist was saying. I've been anointed with fresh oil. I've just had an experience. Just today I was here in church or as I was driving my car, I just got refilled with the Holy Spirit. God just touched me. He became real to me. And this is the really the pattern of Christian life. Living for the Lord, walking with the Spirit is a series of encounters or infillings with the Holy Spirit who never lost you, and you never lost him. But at times he becomes more and more real to you. He gets stronger and stronger. And so you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit, and you have all these encounters. It's written this way in Ephesians 5. Don't be drunk with wine because that makes you lose control. Instead, keep on being filled with the Spirit. In other words, pay attention to that experience. Cultivate that place of walking with the Holy Spirit. And there's something about oil. You know, one of the properties of oil is it can evaporate. If I was to put oil on Pastor John, if I was to anoint his head right now, next week when you come back and see Pastor John, he still wouldn't be dripping with oil. That oil would evaporate. He would need another dose. And you know what? Some of you need another dose. you need another shot. I mean, you had a real shot, you know, recently, but you need another shot here. And so today when we pray, I'm just going to pray that something starts to bubble up on the inside of you and something starts to come alive in the Holy Spirit. We're not here to play games. We're not here for religion. I mean, there's other places we could be if we're just going to have fun or do music or something like that. I'm sure there's other places. But if you want to encounter God, this is the place to be. And this is what coming to church should be all about, receiving a fresh anointing. Don't be drunk with wine because it makes you lose control. Instead, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to each other. These are all keys. By the way, singing is a wonderful key to a fresh anointing. If you feel dry, if you feel like, you know, you don't have the anointing, you don't have a touch of God on your life, start to sing and start to worship. Lift your hand. Learn the secret. Say, well, I'll sing when I feel it. No, I'd sing so that you can feel it. Sometimes you got to prime the pump a little bit. You know, so, well, that's fake. That's phony. Well, okay. Then don't prime your pump. Just stay dry. But for me, I'm going to prime the pump. I'm going to fake it till I make it. All right, just for a minute. I'm going to push down for a minute until something starts to happen, because I've learned the secret of making myself happy, of living a happy Christian life. And it's not starting with your feelings. It's starting with the right thing. Do the right thing. Do what you're supposed to do, and then you'll feel the way you're supposed to feel. Oh, you should write that down. Do what you're supposed to do, and then you'll feel the way you're supposed to feel. I'm way off my notes, in case you haven't noticed. I'm sure they've noticed back there. Where am I? Ephesians 5, be filled, constantly filled. And that brings us back to the verse in Psalm 92 about being filled with fresh oil. It's a fresh thing that God wants to do. It's great if you encountered him a week ago or a month ago or a year ago or 10 years ago, but what's fresh in your life? What's the Lord saying in a fresh way to you? What are you experiencing? See, God wants you to be fresh, anointed with fresh oil, Psalm 92. Yesterday's anointing can fade and evaporate until you get reapplication of the oil, then the benefits remain in your life and it stays full strength. If you're dry today, you need a fresh touch. If you feel like you're being attacked, if life is coming at you and the enemy is coming at you and he's hitting your eyes and you're feeling tormented and everything feels uncomfortable and everything feels painful and you're just edgy and nervous and you're on edge, God just wants to anoint you with fresh oil and just bring a sense of relaxation to you and peace and give you a break and cause you to flourish. How many want to flourish? You still want to flourish? Okay, so what causes us to flourish? The anointing. The Holy Spirit, encountering the Holy Spirit is one huge key that will make us flourish. Now, what happens when we receive a fresh anointing from God? Let's look at Psalm 92. I see five things. Maybe you see more. But I see five things in Psalm 92 that are somewhat like outcomes. Like, if I get a fresh anointing, here's what's going to happen in my life. Number one, I'm going to have power. A fresh anointing is going to increase my power. Verse 10, the psalmist said, "But my horn, you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil." Now, some of you might feel like a wild ox. In fact, I've talked to a few of you, and that would be your personality, like a wild ox. But what does that actually mean? All right, it actually is a reference to strength. Just a strength, like strong as an ox. The New Living Translation says, "You have made me as strong as a wild ox." Now, Jesus was gentle, and he was kind, and he was good. There's also an ox-like dimension to Jesus Christ where he didn't back up. He stood his ground. You know, an ox, you know, if you look at an ox and say, boo, he's not going to run away like a little puppy dog, you know. Oxes are strong. They hold their ground. They don't back up. They're strong. They have more muscle than they need. I mean, oxes are strong. They're like bulls. God wants to make you strong in life. Like more strength than you need. Some of us are praying that life will get easier. I'm not so sure that's the way to pray. Instead of praying that life will get easier, maybe you should pray that God will anoint you and make you stronger so that what feels like a mountain to you is really just like a speed bump. because you're strong. You can handle it. Everybody say, I'm strong. Stop running from your shadow. So something goes wrong at work, stop freaking out. You know, you got to be strong. God wants to fill you with strength. I'm not saying don't be human, but I'm saying sometimes we get so scared. We're scared of our own shadows. Something went wrong. So we heard a news story. We read a post on Facebook. Oh my God. And the panic just hits us, you know, and we just start freaking out and the sky is falling and we start running around in circles. Stop it. Just stand your ground. Be an ox. Let the anointing just rest on you and don't be spooked by little things. Don't be jostled by every little thing you hear. Somebody said this and somebody did that and now we're all nervous. Hold up. The sky is not falling. The world is not coming to an end. Well, it's coming to an end, but I mean not like today, all right? Power. You have made me as strong as a wild ox. Fresh oil makes you strong in the supernatural strength of God. A lot of people are living in constant weakness. That's not God's plan for us. So he fills us with the Holy Spirit, and we regain our spiritual strength. Jesus himself promised his followers in Acts 1, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will shake and shudder every time you hear of what the devil is doing next, right? Is that what he said? When the Holy Spirit comes on you, what? You will be filled with what? Power. You're supposed to be a powerful person, a powerful leader, a powerful intercessor, a powerful father, a powerful mother, a powerful citizen. You are powerful. Let the power of the Holy Spirit fill you, and that'll be a mark of a flourishing life. Another mark is perception, not just power, but perception. Psalm 92, verse 10 and 11, he said, I've been anointed with fresh oil, and look what happened. My eye started to see. My desire on my enemies. My ears hear. What happens is your spiritual eyes and ears perk up through the power of the Holy Spirit. You start to see things that you never saw before. You start to hear things that you never heard before. It quickens your spiritual perception. When you were created, God designed you to have eyes and ears, and he gave you five senses. When you were born again, when you were born spiritually, God gave you spiritual senses. But sometimes those senses get dull. Our hearts can grow dull. Our ears can grow dull. We're not hearing from God. We're not seeing anything in God. It's like we're falling asleep, maybe like we're ready to pass out. We get a little comatose, a little sleepy, and God wants to wake us up. The anointing actually will wake you up. The anointing will open your eyes. I'll never forget when Kathy was giving birth to our first son, Aaron, in 1984. And of course, she had never been pregnant or given birth before. And I had certainly never been pregnant before. Still haven't been pregnant. But that was my first, going through that whole situation. I mean, you know, I was 23 years old. And that was a whole situation, man. The nurses running around and the machines beeping and we had been up for a long, long time. She had been in labor for, I don't know, we'd been awake the whole day, and then the labor came, and so it started at night, and we were awake for 24 hours, and I was getting kind of woozy, and then something happens where, you know, the first part of labor, this is not very medical or scientific, but it kind of goes like this. The first part of it is like, ow, ow, and then, what's it called, transition? And then it's like, ow, ugh, ow. And so it starts, it's like, this is getting heavy. Like, that's the moment. This is going down right now. This is crazy right now. And the nurses are running even faster. And I mean, it's things are heating up. Well, somewhere in there, as Kathy was in the final stages of delivery, I think I must have been ready to faint. I wasn't aware of it. But I was standing there, and I was seeing things I never saw before. And here's my wife, and she's groaning and crying, and boy, this is intense. And the nurse reaches, and I don't know if the color drained out of my face. The nurse reached out. She had one hand over here on Kathy. She opened the drawer, I remember so clearly. She reached in and got smelling salts, cracked them open with one hand, like she had done it before. and went wham, wham, wham under my nose. And it was like, whoa! Have you ever done smelling salts? I mean, not done them, but I mean, have you ever had, you know what I'm talking about? I know you wouldn't do them. I mean, have you ever had that experience? It's like a scent that wakes you up. Now, this is something very interesting. If you study the ingredients of the original anointing oil in the book of Exodus, all the ingredients are like cinnamon. They're all very aromatic. In fact, we had a guy come and visit us in ministry years ago, and he got a hold of all the actual biblical ingredients of the anointing oil as you read it in Exodus, because it's not just oil. It's olive oil, of course, but then they mix things into them, cinnamon and other things, and we could smell. He actually recreated the oil. We could smell it. He put it on us. Actually, you were there, Pastor Chris. He put it on your head, and his head turned red because it's very medicinal. It's strong, and when you smell it, it actually wakes you up. It's aromatic. What I'm saying is when the Holy Spirit, this is a long story about the birth of my children and oil and all of that. There's a point in all of this, and that is when you are anointed with fresh oil, it wakes up your senses. If you're staggering, if you're fainting, if you're weary, when you encounter the Holy Spirit, He wakes up your senses. It's like smelling salts. He'll wake you up, and your perception goes to another level. Here's the third thing that happens, and I want to ask you: are you perceiving? Are your eyes open? Are your ears open? If not, God wants to touch you today. The third one is planting. Everybody say planting. There's power, there's perception, there's planting that'll take. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. And I believe that planting, when you are anointed with fresh oil, God starts speaking to you about where you're supposed to be planted. You can't flourish unless you're planted in life. I mean, where your roots actually go down, and the house of the Lord becomes not just a place you visit, not like a drive-by, you know, attender, but somebody who actually comes, you come in, you make friends, you become a part of the community. Church was never meant to be just an experience. It's meant to be a life. The house of the Lord, the community of God's people, was never meant to be an attraction that you come and watch. It's a community that you become a part of. You get rooted into relationships. You get rooted into Jesus. You get rooted into the Word of God. And when your roots go down, you see, without a strong root system, you can never flourish. God wants you to be rooted in certain things in life, and God wants you to be planted in the house of the Lord. When you got saved, you were plucked from the dominion of darkness. You were transferred. You were pulled up. You were uprooted out of a life of darkness. And He dropped you down and He transplanted you into a brand new community, a brand new experience in life. And now God says, let your roots go down. Be planted strong in God's house, the place where His people gather. We know, of course, this building is not, we call the local church the house of the Lord, but it's not because of the building, of course. The building has nothing to do with it, but in the sense that the building is the place where the family of God gathers. In that way, it really does become the house of the Lord. And when you get planted into the house of the Lord, something supernatural takes place in your life, and you are planted. Look at Psalm 1:3, everybody. Psalm 1:3, they are like trees planted. Everyone say planted. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in everything they do. Are you planted in the house of God? The fourth piece of this is productivity. Verse 12 and 14 says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Verse 14 says, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And then, of course, it says they shall bear fruit in old age. God wants you to be productive for Him. He wants you to bear fruit. I could talk and talk and talk about palm trees and cedar trees. You know, palm trees flourish amazingly because they grow in the desert. You'd think You would see dead, dried up palm trees. You don't see a lot of dead, dried up palm trees. Palm trees are a flourishing plant, even in droughts and even in deserts, because they have tremendous root systems and they're built to outlast tough weather. Flourish like a palm tree. That means even in hard times. Kathy was studying palm trees a few months back, and she was telling me that she found out that palm trees actually, there's something called palm honey. Have you ever heard of it? That palm trees secrete honey, this sweet, it's called palm honey, and they use it all over the world to sweeten their beverages, and it's like a sugary syrup, like a maple syrup from a palm tree, palm honey, but it can only be gathered at night. It's only at night that the tree secretes this honey. If you wait till the day when the sun is bright, the honey goes back into the tree. But at night, it seeps out. And oh, I was thinking about that when she was telling me, and I was thinking about how many of us are in a night season, you know? Hard times, not a lot of light. But it's in that season that God can bring the sweetness out in our lives. That's the place of the honey. When it's just you and God, it seems like everybody else has forgotten you, and it's just you and God. And that's where the honey is. That's where the sweetness is. He said, I'll flourish like a palm tree. He also said, I'll flourish like a cedar tree. I'll grow like a cedar tree. Cedars are super strong trees. They're a symbol of strength. In fact, cedar wood is also aromatic. You put it in your closets to drive away the moths. How many want to flourish like a cedar tree and like a palm tree? Even in the tough times, you're smelling right. You're just alive. God wants you to be strong. And the last point, the last mark of a flourishing life is this. Number five is praise. When you are flourishing, he says, they shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. See, when you're anointed, when you have a fresh anointing in your life, you're not mad at God anymore. Lord, where's the justice? Lord, what are you doing? What could you be thinking, God? Lord, this isn't fair. This isn't right. That comes out of dry people. That comes out of hurt people. But when God puts his anointing on you, your hands go up and say, Lord, I don't understand, but this I know, you're upright. God, you're awesome. I praise you in this season I'm in. I thank you because I don't understand what's going on, but I know you do, and you're righteous and you're holy all the time. And Lord, you alone are my rock. You have been my foundation. The whole world has lost its way, and you're my rock. Lord, I can't believe that you're still blessing me. I'm so grateful, Lord. Thank you, God. I've ignored you. I've gone my own way. I haven't listened to you. And still, your blessings keep chasing me down. I don't deserve any of it. Lord, I praise you. See, somebody that's anointed with fresh oil doesn't have a problem praising. Because it all comes into focus. The psalmist said, Lord, you've anointed me with fresh oil, and I'm flourishing. My life isn't perfect, but I'm flourishing. And I want to pray for us to have that experience and have that encounter today. Just put your pens down, your papers down, and maybe just lift your hands to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to flourish. I want to receive a fresh anointing today. Lord, I pray for the dry ones. I pray for the broken ones. I pray for the sheep, Lord, that the flies are attacking, and it's like all of life has just come against us. Lord, I ask that you would just anoint us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Let this year be our year to flourish. And Lord, let our eyes be opened. Let our spirits wake up in a new way. Lord, revive us. Enlighten us, Lord. Lord, you're wanting to do new things. Touch us with a fresh anointing this year, Lord. Refresh us, I pray. Let the songs and the hymns and the joy begin to flow out of us, Lord. Lord, let us sing as we've never sung before. Let us pray as we've never prayed before. Anoint us afresh, Lord, with the mighty touch of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to put a prayer up on the screen, and I'm going to invite you to say this prayer. I want to just say this too before we go back into worship. I learned a little secret about being anointed, living with a sense of walking in the Holy Spirit. And I learned that when I'm too successful, when I'm too proud or too full of myself, I dry up. But in that condition, if I will repent, if I will humble myself before the Lord, a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit comes. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, he stood up and preached and talked about new life, and the people said, what should we do to be saved? And he said this, repent and be baptized, and each one of you will receive the Holy Spirit. If you can link repentance and a fresh anointing in the same experience, you learn this secret. When I'm dry, I need to humble myself. I need to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to just give me a brand new beginning. And what will happen is that closeness will return. That first love experience will return to your life. So I want you just to bow your heads right now. Just I'm not going to do this prayer. I feel prompted that we just need to kind of make a little confession here to the Lord. Lord, I ask that a spirit of humility and repentance would touch every one of us, Lord. Touch every one of us, Lord. We haven't been the husband that we need to be. We haven't been the Christian we need to be. Lord, we just humble ourselves right now. And in that, we ask for that fresh anointing. Just with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you found yourself far from God, kind of living on your own, maybe a little backslidden, maybe you've never received Jesus. You've just never opened your heart to him, but you want to do it today. I just want to give you that opportunity to do it right now. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're far from God today and you need the reassurance that you're saved and that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you need that assurance today. I want to pray for you. Would you lift your hand just right where you are? Say, Pastor, pray for me. I see you. I see you. I see you. Just right where you are. I see you over there. Anywhere else, I see you in the back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for people listening online. Come, Holy Spirit, just do a new thing in our lives, Lord. Now, everyone, just say this prayer with me. Everybody, Lord Jesus, I ask you for a fresh touch. Refill me with the Holy Spirit. Be my Lord. Be my Savior and fill me with fresh oil. I receive this now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to worship for a moment. I'm going to come back with a final prayer. We're going to have a chance to give here. And I want to thank you for your giving. It's so wonderful. But as we give, let's not lose this moment. Just let the Holy Spirit drop down on you and receive a fresh anointing as we worship.
Father, we can feel your presence in this room, washing over us, Lord, with fresh anointing. Fresh anointing is flowing, Lord. We receive your touch, Father. We receive as you place your hand on us. Oh, let your oil run like you, faithful, faithful.
have our prayer teams come forward at this time. I need a few elders and a few intercessors up here, if you would just come. If you need healing in your body, or you just need a moment's prayer for what's something that's going on in your life. I'm talking to people all the time, and somebody's lost a father, and it's really affected them. Going through a hard time in your marriage, you know, it really helps to pray with somebody. And so our prayer teams are going to be here, and I just invite you to come after we dismiss. If you need healing prayer, if you want someone to agree with you, please come and let someone pray for you. Amen. Just lift your hands one more time. Father, I just speak a fresh anointing. A fresh anointing, Lord, to wake us up, to make us strong, to cause us to flourish through the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us, and now we receive it. A life abundant, a life prosperous, flourishing, succeeding. We receive this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love each and every one of you. Wow, it's always great to be together. Those of you that are a little bit new in the church and you've never come to our welcome weekend, it's been a month or so since we had one. So we're meeting right down in 203 to my left and to your right, 201 rather. Thank you. And there's a sign in the hallway. Join us for a moment. We'd love to say hello to you. If you need prayer, come at this time. God bless you. You are dismissed.